you know, I've never lost a championship match with Kerry. I've never lost in Croke Park. I've never lost as captain. Now, the fact that I've only played two matches, that doesn't matter, right? But I've never actually lost the championship game with Kerry. You know what I mean?
But listen, doesn't it sound great?
It sounds great. Like, if somebody put that in my grave and didn't mention the fact that I only two matches, and in a 100 years' time, they'd probably think I was the greatest footballer of all time. But I wasn't. But at the same time, I was blessed. You know, I was only involved in two championship matches on the pitch. I know I subbed for a few, but I never lost in Croke Park. I played there once, won once. You know what I mean? Never lost as captain. Played captain, which was my last game. And it's ironic, you know, it's kind of ironic. My last game for Kerry, I captained them and we won. And my last game for Ireland, I captained them and we won.
That ball is put up. One brother to another. Oh, Stafford.
What a ball.
Clifford Luke. Oh, chance here. Tony Braston. Give it across the square. O'Connor. Oh, yes. Shoddy O'Shea. Shoddy. Oh, a goal by Shoddy O'Shea. Brilliant, brilliant move. What a genius David Clifford is. This Tony Braston.
Fabulous.
And what a goal. Johnny O'Shea has made it 2:15. Tyrone 9 points.
That's brilliant. The likes of that who puts what to the lawn, get mitten
David seat. Clifford.
Sheer brilliance from Clifford, and watch the finish from O'Shea.
Oh,
bottom left hand corner.
What genius by David Clifford. Out of the sideline, underneath the Hogan stand, looped the ball over, and there was Tony Braston, played across the square. Johnny O'Shea's hit the back of the net.
Marina, let's, before we go forward, we go backwards. Can you remember, even just looking at the photograph there, is it of your 11th birthday and you're there with the football? What is 11-year-old Marina Barry thinking in that picture, I wonder?
Well, it's in the sitting room. I have a ball in hand, togged out. The one thing is, I wouldn't have had any football team. There wouldn't have been any football team for ladies at that stage, or girls. But obviously from the photo, I used to play a lot of street ball across in Rock Street. We used to call it the Union Hall. And it was SIP2, or at the time, that was a place where all the street kids used to gather and kick a ball around. It's mostly soccer or football, but it was mainly boys, and I was the only girl really at the time. So I just seemed to love anything to do with a football. And I suppose the picture then, obviously, I suppose, says to me as I look at it now, that obviously somewhere there in my head and in my body, that ultimately I wanted to definitely join a team. Austin Stacks formed in 1977. So for me, that felt like New Year's Eve, when the fireworks are going up in the sky and a little girl has a dream. So the dream began with Austin Stacks forming a ladies' club, and the little girl realizing that, yes, I can play, and the world is your oyster after that, you know. If I was to dream, I dream big, and I was lucky that later on, you know, the dream was fulfilled.
Shane coming with the free. Shane is going to lob this one in. He lobs it in around the square. There's loads of bodies inside there. It's pulling in the air. Nobody gets it up. Declan is on. He's on it for Prada. Declan is on. No. It's over. 2023 County Senior Hurling Champions. It's a scoreline of 15-19. It's been 55 years coming. What a day for Kilflynn. What a day for Craig O'Neill's. And you have to say, Pip, despite all the wides, they probably were the better team on the day.
The famine had ended, Andrew Morris. Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that the better team won. They made hard work of it. There was only a puck of a ball in it at the end. But by far, the better team won. If you even put over half the wides they had, they would have been away with it halfway through the second half. Kilflynn is going to be hopping, and rightly so, because these lads have done absolutely everything they can this year. What performance they've had in the last three matches, especially Causeway, Kilmoyle and Lixnard, three of the top boys in the county, and they have beaten them to win the county championship. 55 years is a hell of a long time, and they're going to celebrate it, and by God, they are dead right they should celebrate it.
to be honest, them younger boys don't even understand the heartbreak we've been through. Like, do you know, I told them, like, I think it was Sir Lynch was telling me, he was playing seven years senior hurling before he actually won a game. I said that to some of the younger boys, that they started laughing, they couldn't believe it. Like, do you know,
They're so used to winning, aren't they?
I've lost, I'd say, more games than I've won in championship, like, and they find that hard to believe, because all they know is win. And say, myself and Beans, Richard, it's 34, I'm 32, Beans is 31. Then there's a jump to 25, so these boys can do what they want in hurling.
Well, listen, I'm not going to keep you long, because I know you want to join the celebrations. For you, though, I can see the emotion. It does really mean a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I said it earlier. To be honest, I'm not even bothered about myself. It's for the likes of the Black Lean, my Uncle Searle, my father, the Butch Lean, old Tom Cronin, Mike Hickey. They're the fellas I went to the winning for. They haven't seen Crotty lift the championship in 55 years, and now we finally gave them a day they can enjoy it.
It's hard to kind of put it into words, even thinking about it now. It's emotional. Do you know what I mean? The people of this parish, like Crotty, they brought me in when I was just starting secondary school. They treated me like one of their children. They didn't have to. I was only a blow-in. And just to be able to win it today for the people there, it's a sweet win.
When it comes to where you're going to sit during an Ireland match, instinctively do you head towards the end in which Ireland are playing into, or what's your starting point?
Yeah, you'll always be on the Ireland attack, so it's often quite late to wait until the coin toss before you know which way they're playing. So it's right up until the kickoff, you don't know which way they're going. You have a general idea, especially on neutral grounds, which way they'll play in the first half, because you don't have a bank of home fans or away fans that they like to play into in the second half. So yeah, it's right up under the coin toss before you know, and then you go to the corner, and I always have the same position. It's bench side, corner flag, and you'd say to a player maybe before the game or something, and I said, you know, if you get a goal, you know where I am.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, you would. Although I did say to the one goal we scored against Canada, I said it was a team walk before every game, and we just finished the team walk, and I said to Katie McKay, it was corner flag, bench side, and you just say no more. And she scored, and where did she go? She went to the opposite corner. And I said to her, I said, well, what happened? She said, Stephen, I was so far away from you, there was no way I could have done it, but I did think of you when I scored.
Take you back to May in the Aviva Stadium. I was there again, so you could feel the stadium shake those first kind of 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Were you kind of thinking, oh, the game's going to be gone before you get in the field here?
there was a slight moment of doubt for sure. Once we got to 19, it was like, oh, for God's sake, we'll have our moment, but God, it can't keep conceding. But Leinster's attacking was just so crisp and so it was beautiful to watch. But yeah, it was just it's funny, Greg's speech before we went out was whether we're ahead by 5 or down by 20, it doesn't matter, we're still in the game. You believe it, but you don't really believe it. And then 19-0, I was like, what the hell are you saying, man? And then we had our moment, thankfully, and we kind of brought ourselves back in before halftime. So there was a huge buzz of, you know, patting boys on the back, knowing the game was there to be got.
I was kind of like a clone when I was 13 or 14. I was actually still small. I was the smallest player when I was the captain of the Irish basketball team. When I was 15, I was the smallest player in the squad. But I had big hands and I had big feet. I was 15 years of age. I was very small, but I was size 12, 13 shoe at that stage. And I remember a basketball player in 95 when I would have been 12 or 13, a guy called Lester Lyons that played with the Three Tigers back in the day. You know, I remember saying, oh, I'm never going to grow. He said, let me see. You see, you got big feet. I said, yeah, I'm size 12 at that time. When I was 12 years of age, I was size 12 shoe. And he was going, geez, you got big hands too. He said, I wouldn't worry about it. You're definitely going to fill those shoes and fill those hands. You're going to grow. In other words, don't be panicking. You'll grow at some stage. But I had to be patient. I was 16 nearly when I started. My kind of growth spurt from being, you know, 5'6", 5'7", to, you know, 2 years later being 6'3", 6'4". So it was a very quick growth spurt, and lucky not to get through injuries. But yeah, the boots were hard to get at that stage. I think most sport shops, even now, you know, me going into a random shoe shop anywhere, there's nobody going to have 13s, really. They're rare. I remember working with Wayne and Q Sports in Castle Street, and we used to be talking about, you know, we'll get 7 size 10s and 8 size 9s, and it would start depleting as you'd start going up the sizes, and then you get to 13. Well, look, just get one just in case we get some big fella in that we can say, look, will we have a pair of boots for you anyway? It doesn't matter what they're like. So it was always hard for me. I remember I burst my boots before a National Cup soccer game with the Park years ago, and went down with Mam in the morning before we left at like 11 o'clock. Went downtown at 9 and went around to all the sports shops, and there was no size 13s available. So I was going, the idea at the time was to tape up the boots, but she gave me 30 euros or pounds at the time maybe, and said, look, if you can get something on the way down to the game in Waterford, if you pass the sports shop, just get the lads to stop. And we did, we passed one for mine. I went in, asked them for a pair of boots and any size 13, and your man said, I actually think I do have a size 13, but I'd say they might have been 4 or 5 years old. They were Lotto boots. They were all luminous, and I mean like the jackets the council workers would work on, like that luminous green and black
highlighter pen.
Yeah, highlighter pen, there you go, and a black Lotto sign. But they were pristine, they were brand new, and they were out of the box. I put them on because I'd know the twice, and I jogged out before the game, and I had a good peripheral vision from the basketball, and I remember looking dead ahead of me straight out the pitch, but I could still see the tips of my yellow boots every time I took a step or a sprint. So yeah, got a good bit of slagging about those boots, but kind of liked them in the end, to be honest.
It was a funny one because obviously you don't know who's going to get that winning putt. Mm-hmm. And because the crowds in Marcus Armani was so hectic, we just ditched our buggy and we started running. So I think I ran between the 16th green and 18th green about 4 times in the space of 40 minutes, because we were looking at it and we're listening into the comms and we're like, okay, Lowry's going to be on 17, he's going to do it. No, it's Fleetwood. So we literally just legged it, and cost Tommy putting in that putt to guaranteed Europe. And I remember it was so funny, I was right beside him on the green and I'm staying on Tommy, and in the background I see this man run out from the crowd, you've probably seen it online.
Yeah.
And he just jumped into leg, and I just went with him on the camera, and it was hilarious. And that's another goosebump moment where you just realise, oh okay, the fact that Europe won as well, personally, we were just delighted, because after making this documentary, you know, it's just going to be even bigger because Europe won. Do you know what I mean? You're going to promote it more. All the access is going to be released. So, no, it was an excellent week.
2 years ago, I was, it was the tail end of COVID. I was doing a lot of training. And long story short, I went out for a 5K run, came back to the house in Rockland, Pearl River in Rockland County, New York, and my wife had made me a sandwich, and I sat down to watch the news at the sandwich and basically dropped dead, had a widowmaker heart attack. So very lucky to have survived it. There's like a 6% survival rate, so I'm one of the fortunate ones that lived to tell the story.
Were you in any way feeling unwell prior to all of this?
No, which is the scary thing. Yeah. I was feeling perfectly fine. I had a full physical actually 3 weeks prior to the event, so there was no signs whatsoever. I was feeling great, 100%, not any different than I'm speaking to you right now.
Because you were only 41 at the time, so I mean, that's pretty much in a man's prime.
Yeah, just I had done a 5K. I was doing a lot of CrossFit training at the time, and I had done the 5K in under 20 minutes, so I was in good fighting shape. There was really no signs whatsoever. So it was, that was the biggest, one of the biggest things probably to get my head around, you know, that how did this happen, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about it is a widowmaker heart attack, the chances of surviving, you know, such a low percentage. I mean, you flatlined multiple times that day.
I did. I flatlined twice in the house. I dropped dead in the house, and the EMS, you know, there was a lot of things that lined up for me that day. I was very lucky. The ambulance service are literally at the bottom of my road. The first responders, the Orangetown Police Department, were in my house within minutes, you know. So, like, they had the defibrillator on me and given me CPR within 6 minutes. So that was very fortunate that response was there. But I flatlined. They got me back in the house, then I flatlined again in the house, and then on the way to the hospital, I flatlined the third time, and it just wasn't as simple then. I was given CPR for a good amount of time, which is also another miracle that I'm fully fit again. I was receiving CPR for about 6-7 minutes until they got me incubated in the hospital. So, you know, somebody was watching over me.
Absolutely. And what was subsequently discovered? What was the problem then?
I had my left anterior descending artery was 100% blocked. There was a plaque rupture in the artery. So basically, a piece of plaque comes off your artery, causes the rupture, seeps in, causes the clot. But to my surprise also, there was another two arteries on the right side of my heart that were 95% blocked as well. So I had to get stents put in then a week or two later once I was strong enough for them while I was still in the hospital. So I ended up getting 3 stents.
He was big supporter. He'd be walking around the house all day, and I would someone come home and tell him what was the final score, like, you know, because we were trying to win this championship for years upon years, like, you know. So on the day we did win it then in 1979, I'd say he was the proudest man in Ireland on that evening.
I'd say he must have been the most nervous man in Causeway that day, because there was no Radio Kerry.
Yeah, no Radio Kerry. No. He was waiting for the first car to come from Tralee to know, because that was the only way. Or maybe there might be a phone call or something through. So he might have gone to Causeway down to the Kisk and made rank someone, but I know he'd be a very, very excited man, because he just couldn't go. He says, if I went, they'd be bringing me out in a box. He'd get very, very excited.
Can you remember seeing him after the game?
I can remember seeing him when we came to the Cross of Causeway.
Yeah. What was that like?
And like, I never in my life seen him crying, and there was tears running down his eyes. He was so delighted, like, and he was not a man for showing emotion, but on that evening he did. He did. He was was tears rolling down his eyes, like, he was but everyone, all the parents that time, like, there was such a big thing in Cork that time to try to make the breakthrough.
This is a chance for Cork to go ahead, because it's Chris Oak Jones is up. They're not wasting any time between penalties here in Parky Green, and this McGrath Cup final. It's 2 apiece. Chris Oak Jones up against Shane Ryan. Oh, it's a bunch in the back of the net. That's a well taken penalty.
There was no chance there.
Yeah, and suddenly Cork go into lead 3-2, and pressure on the next man. And the next man up looks like Barry Dan Ambrose.
Barry Dan O'Sullivan.
Barry Dan wearing that twin. Yeah, we're seeing it is Barry Dan. Barry Dan. O'Sullivan up against the Knocknagree man in goals for Cork. That's Patrick Dyle. Barry Dan slightly a longer run up than the other penalty takers. Now Barry Dan on the run up, the keeper doing all sorts of things aside. Oh, it reaches the corner of the net. The keeper got his fingers.
He did, but
the tip of his fingers, Ambrose, if his nails are long, they've broken his nails.
A bullet of a shot from Barry Dan.
So it's 3 apiece, and again it's that man that came on as a sub for Rory Dean. That's Mark Cronin is the next man up, Ambrose. So it's Mark Cronin up against Shane Ryan, kicking it with the left. He will. Oh, it's into the back of the net, Ambrose. And there it is. That makes it 4 for Cork, 3 for Kerry. Game over in a way that you don't like.
Yeah.
And it deserved more the game, Ambrose. In the end,
the history box will show that the McGrath Cup was won on penalties.
Yeah.
Not the way to. What, it was a fine game of football.
Yeah.
Played in great sporting fashion by both sides, and to finish a game like that on penalties is a lottery. Not my cup of tea anyway, so the less said the better for me, because I don't think it's a dreadful way to finish a game in GA in particular.
Going back to the game itself, Ambrose, it was a good workout.
Oh, good workout for both sides. Absolutely. Both sides played great football, and you must give both sets of players great credit, because, I mean, conditions were tough enough. They put the conditions aside. They played good football. We moved the ball well. We got great scores from both sides. There was great scores. Kick 114 apiece. Thoroughly enjoyable game, but for me, it can give a sour taste to finish a game like this on penalties.
I know we're talking about legacy, and maybe if we were opening a museum, is that what you'd put into the museum?
Well, I suppose if you had to look back and say what will you be remembered for as a Kerry player? Well, the first thing they'll say about, I suppose, Billy O'Shea is that he's the fella that broke his leg in an All-Ireland final, which is probably not the nicest thing to have you remembered as. But it's a fact that that's probably the way it will be, and, you know, you just have to accept that that's it. So if somebody said to me, if you had to make a contribution to this museum, or the virtual museum that you were calling it, I'd say my left boot would be my contribution to it, because that's what I'll be remembered for, breaking my leg, and that's the boot that went missing for 8 months, that eventually turned up, and that was the leg in which he broke in the All-Ireland final, and that's the boot he was wearing at the time.
Where is the boot, Billy?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we had a family fire back in 2009, and my two aunts who would have reared me as a, from my teenage years. I stayed with them, obviously, and the boot was in the house when the fire went up. So unfortunately, the boot has gone to heaven. So we won't be able to put the original boot in, but if somebody, if we had to make a contribution, that would be the one that I would be making anyway.